the topic of my address, which I chose, is Kyiv. I didn't try to translate Kyiv because Kyiv is a difficult word to translate into English. Some words can be translated literally, but if Kyiv were to be translated literally, then it would mean proximity. It didn't make any sense. So I didn't translate the term Kyiv, but really it means outreach. Kyiv, its implications, its amplifications, and its pitfalls. In order to discuss each aspect separately, I'll have to discuss it primarily from a halachic perspective. I said that Kyiv can best be translated into the English term outreach, not reach, but outreach. Why outreach? Outreach means Kyiv Rechekit, that's why. There is an English term, outreach, not to reach those who are close, but we have to reach those who stand outside our sphere of influence. Kyiv Rechekit. And the union of Kyiv Rechekit is mentioned in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, in the Haftor of Yom Kippur. Beirei nifs posoim, shalom, shalom, la'ochek la'korei v'omar adishem u'fosif. It's a very strange formulation. Now, Reb Shimshon Rifael Hirsch explains it in a very poignant way. He says, shalom, peace, is not a reality. It's only a creation of the human lips. Beirei nifs posoim, shalom. Is there a reality of peace? There is no reality of peace. President Woodrow Wilson advocates the participation of the United States on the side of the Allies in the First World War. And President Wilson was essentially and primarily and exclusively a pacifist. How is it that a pacifist like President Wilson advocated the participation of the American people in the First World War on the side of the Allies? So he says, it's a war to end wars. Hasi Shalom, President Wilson wouldn't advocate involvement in war. Mishim war, Hasi Shalom. But he believed wholeheartedly that with the participation of the United States on the side of the Allies in the First World War, so war will be abolished forever and ever. But we know very well, President Woodrow Wilson was a history scholar, a professor of history, but he made a mistake. The involvement of the United States on the side of the Allies in the First World War was not conducive to the establishment of peace in the country. It was conducive to more divisiveness and more wars. Why? Because, as Reb Shimshon Rifael Hirsch explains, Beirei nifs posoim shalom, everybody talks about shalom. But the truth is that when you take cognizance of the facts of life, the political facts of life, we can readily see that it's not a reality. We can't attain peace. The League of Nations was set up in order to attain peace. And then the United Nations, well, did the League of Nations attain peace? Did the United Nations attain peace? So, it's a myth. The dream of Sholem is a myth. I'm certainly a pacifist. How could anyone who belongs to Shleimei Emunei Yisrael not be a pacifist? But we have to be realistic. It's a myth. I don't enjoy saying it, but I'm saying it because these are the facts of life. Until the Mesa Mashiach, there will not be peace. People will talk about peace, of course, everybody will talk about peace. President Bush will talk about peace, and Gorbachev will talk about peace, and Ibn Arafat will talk about peace, and Mubarak, Tal Haina will talk about peace. Everybody will talk about peace. Shalom, shalom, v'ein shalom. It's a very mystery sign. It's a creation of the lips, of the human lips. Human lips created such a mythological dream that they will be able to attain peace. But the Mesa Mashiach, they will be peace. Then it will be but until the Mesa Mashiach, we can forget about peace. Let's not waste our times and our energies. It's a very nice for sight. Does that mean that we should not aspire towards peace? Of course we have to aspire towards peace. We have to aspire towards the Mesa Mashiach. So the pursuit of peace is one of the media through which we can expedite the Messianic era. But until the Mesa Mashiach, peace will remain a myth, a creature of the lips. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom l'arochek l'akorev. So shalom l'arochek is mentioned first. And that's right. According to the timing of the pasuk, shalom, shalom, so actually, according to the timing, so it means shalom l'rochek v'lakov omar ad Hashem u'farsit. Why? Because when we talk about kiyuv, I said before, we have to translate it into the English term of outreach, not reach. Because reaching means lakarov. Outreach means to reach unto those who stand outside our sphere. Those who are alienated from the arts. Those who don't believe in the Torah. Those who defy the Torah. It's outreach. It's not inreach. It's outreach. So when we talk about kiyuv, so the first thing is shalem l'arochek. But there is a certain paradox. In English, there is a term oxymoron. What is oxymoron? It's derived from the Greek. So moron means stupid, and oxy means wise. An intelligent fool is oxymoron. We have certain phenomena that are paradoxical. They involve dovo v'ipuche. In Loshen Chazal, it's called chameya gomel. In the Mishnah Neir, chameya gomel. Because chameya is b'mshiche, chameya is b'niug, and gomel is b'mshiche. So if one person is meshich, and the other one is manik, so they pull in opposite directions. So he has to stand in the same position. So that's called oxymoron, a sphere. In modern life, we always had oxymoron phenomena. But in modern life is abundant with oxymoron phenomenon. No, we see that that we were Jews. They want Arafat, Peter Hauser, and Rosensaft. We were Jews from the American Jewish Committee, from the Zionist organization. Rosensaft is the vice president of the Zionist organization. They want Arafat, and they pressure Schultz, and then President Bush and Baker to implement the new policy of the State Department, which is repugnant to the traditional policy of the United States. Isn't that an oxymoron? It's a paradox. It's a paradox. Arafat, an arch murderer, and a heel shot. So there will be a chairman referred to me as an Eveshon or Eveshon. All right, that's not so ridiculous. It might be exaggerated, but to refer to Arafat as an Eveshon or Eveshon, it's an oxymoron. The Pope Paul II embraces Arafat. Pope Paul II rebukes the State of Israel for oppressing the poor Palestinians, and is appealing to all the Christians to constantly pray for the unfortunate lot of the oppressed Palestinians. And then Jewish leaders hail the Pope. So for a short time, as long as the Catholic Church refused to abandon the convent in Auschwitz, so they didn't hail him. But the moment they changed their mind, so they started to hail him again. Again, oxymoron phenomena. So here we also have an oxymoron phenomena. Be'er nishtrasayim shalom. Shalom la'rochayich. V'akori b'marad v'shem u'posik. There is a problem. We can't help it. If we become involved in being mikayev rechaykin, so then we at the same time are bound to be merachik revi. This is what happens today. As a result of the incessant endeavor to say shalom rechaykin, everybody, shalom to those who write the speeches of George Schultz and James Baker, speeches that from the Jewish point of view means treachery for Am Yisrael, and Jews write that, and Lishim Shammai. Isn't that an oxymoron? Because why? Because that's the problem with Kiel. When we try to reach out unto the Rechaykin, then we have to be very careful not to be merachik revi. Be very cautious. But that doesn't mean that we should not be involved in Kiel Rechaykin. We have to, but we have to know that when we become involved in Kiel Rechaykin, then we are trying to stand on a slippery slope. If anybody among you doesn't know what it means to stand on a slippery slope, but I am a big expert in it because I am handicapped. And when I stand on something slippery, so then I'm so turbulent. We have to be involved in Kiel Rechaykin, but we have to know that that might has to show and alienate Kreli. So what's the solution? So the Navi says, Berei Nisfosoyim Shalom. Shalom is really neat. Until the Mishan Mashiach, we'll never be able to attain it. But we still have to. It's peace of Yeshua. That's one of the things for which every Jew is going to give an accounting. What does Tzipisoyeshua mean? Did you aspire towards the day when to be lo yisa goyel goy chared be yilmidu v'lo yilmidei mohamo, towards the day when to be v'chitzu ha'beisam li'itim v'chinosam li'mazmeiras? That's a piece of Yeshua. We have to aspire for sure. Some melee, we have to be involved in Kiel Chacheki. Shalom la'rachok. But then, the craving are in danger. So what is the solution? We need to yad edishmai. The lakorei v'omar adishem u'posiv. We have to be pure. The more we're involved in Kiruv Rechaikin, the more likely it is to conduce Rechok craving. But that doesn't mean that we should give up Kiruv Rechaikin. We just have to do our utmost and be misspelled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should cure it. As far as Shalom Rechaikin, that's a relatively simple task. But to maintain cure of craving at the same time that we are mikarev rechaikin, that's a more difficult task. And we need extra siyad lishmai. We need to be forsif for cure of rechaikin also, but for maintaining the proper relationship with the craving, to be mikarev rechaikin, at the same time avoid polarizing the Jewish community, require extra tziyat lishmai. And in order to have tziyat lishmai, we have to be motivated by the endeavor to conform to the Torah perspective. And we cannot approach it from a modern perspective. Sometimes, coincidentally, the modern perspective might coincide with the Torah perspective. But that's a coincidence. Lakorei v'omar adishem u'posiv. If it is not lakorei v'omar adishem u'posiv, if we don't try to conform to all the nuances of the halacha in the endeavor to be mikarev rechaikin, then we are going to lose the craving. Then we'll polarize the Jewish community. So about the veil will be the fact that we are mikarev if you rechaikin, if you assimilate the youngsters, when we will lose the broad masses of the Orthodox Jews and the Olam HaTorah. So we have to know that in the endeavor of kiruv, of outreach, of reaching those Jews who stand beyond away from the orbit of Torah, we are standing on a slippery slope, and we have to be very careful, and we have to be misspelled HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should cure the situation. Otherwise, the Koreib will be destroyed. We might win a few from the Rochik circle, but will use the broad message of the Kohen. That's the first guideline in considering outreach from a Torah perspective. Then, I chose the topic, Kiruv, its implications, its amplifications and pitfalls. All right, pitfalls is something separate. Why discuss implications of kiruv and amplifications of kiruv? There is a distinction between the term implication and amplification. Implication means that there is a logical connection between proposition A and proposition B. According to logic, there is a logical connection between proposition A and proposition B. If assuming that proposition A is true, then proposition B is necessarily true. Necessarily true. It's a situation. Let's say, the famous Greek syllogism. Man is mortal. Socrates is a man. Therefore, Socrates is mortal. So that's an implication. When we say proposition A, man is mortal, then it's necessarily implicit that Socrates is also mortal, because Socrates is a man. That's implication. Amplification means expansion. There are certain things that are implicitly involved in the concept of guilt from the Torah perspective. Implicitly. It couldn't be any other way. Like the connection between the proposition A, man is mortal, and proposition B, Socrates is mortal. But then, there are certain halachas in the area of guilt, of outreach, that do not necessarily flow from the concept of guilt. But the halacha happens to be that it still comes within the concept of guilt. So that's not the implication of guilt. That's the amplification of guilt. And then there are people. One of the people I just mentioned, when you become involved in guilt of hating, so we stand on a slippery slope and we subject the craving to the danger of becoming polarized and divided against each other. That's one of the pitfalls, but I'm not ready to discuss the pitfalls yet. I still didn't start to discuss the implications, the pitfalls that hopefully I'll be able, but if I'm not able, I'll just quit. When do I have to quit, so I'll be kuchik. When do I have to? Please don't feel me irritated, tell me. Because I'm Bifni Amvindo.
5:30.
5:30, okay, fine. Well, another 50 minutes, okay, all right. I'll quit. 5:30 I quit. That's all. Not in the middle of the sentence, I'll just finish the sentence. What? You are giving me moments of grace, though? Okay.
She does not say I'm in the
All right. Now, before I start to discuss the halacha of guilt, I want to mention that guilt is not just the halacha. I can tell many halachas. Guilt is grounded in two covenants, two places. The essential ingredient of guilt is the concept of ours. Of course, kiyuv is based upon the mitzvah of Techiach, Techiach HaSamusach. That's ours. Kol Yisroel Arivim Zel Zeh. But it's not only a mitzvah, there are many mitzvahs. Pasuk Esnish V'Shivas Yom is also a mitzvah. But not every mitzvah of the Torah is grounded in the covenant between Almighty God and the Knesset Yisrael. Kiyuv, however, is grounded in two covenants. One covenant is the Bris Rishayim. Vizachartem lehem Bris Rishayim. First, the Torah says, Vizachartem lehem es Bris Yaakov, vaf es Bris Yitzchok, vaf es Bris Avraham eski Avraham etzeski. Then, later on, the Torah says, Vizachartem lehem Bris Rishayim. So, Bris Rishayim. So, Kiyuv is grounded in the Bris Rishayim. The Morin Satan says, Hamistoris Ladishem Elekeinu, Vamigleis Lonu Vonenu Adelom. What does it mean? Hamistoris Ladishem Elekeinu. We are responsible for Mistoris too. Isn't it you? is responsible for every thought he entertains in his mind, for every emotion that he entertains. In the Hajj for everything, not only the Miglais, but even for the stories, the internals, the machshoves, the rikshes, the hidden rikshes. Every person is to give an accounting for all the stories. So the Moran Sefer says that is reference to the Indian of Arvis, as far as responsibility for a Jew's own deeds is responsible for the Negroes and the Mistars. What called Yisrael Arabim Zeluzeh. So every Jew is not only held responsible for his own Maisim, he is held responsible for the Maisim of his fellow Jews. Kol Shi Yesh B'Yodavim Chayz V'Neche Nitreis Ravinei Sof. And if Yesh L'Vim Chayz B'Chol O'Elom, so is Nitreis B'Avim Kol O'Elom. So as far as the achrayis for the avirus of our fellow Jews, so our achrayis is only for the Negroes. And Negroes, we are responsible, but we are not responsible for the stories that we don't know. There are certain Jews who furtively and clandestinely conspire against the Torah. We are not responsible unless we could find out their conspiratorial endeavors. So then we are responsible. Then it's not in stories, then it's neither. But if it's in stories, there is no achrayis of ours. So that means that the Bris Rishen included not only a achrayis for the avirus and the delinquencies of our own, but for there, it's an achrayis for the delinquencies of our fellow Jews. But as far as Arvis is concerned, so only for the Negroes, not for the Mistors, not for the Negroes, we are responsible. That means that Arvis, that outreach, is grounded not only in the Mistors of Chiyat Chiyah, it's grounded in the Mistors of Chiyat Chiyah. But it is also grounded in the Bris Rishen. And whenever we ponder upon the concept of outreach or the endeavor of outreach, we have to consider it from the point of view of the covenant of the Bris Rishen. And then I think that outreach is also grounded in the Bris Aves. Bris Aves, we have three. Zohar, es Brisi Yaakov, es Brisi Yitzhak, es Brisi Avrom, es Yavor, es Eskia. What is the Brisi Avrom? Avrom is mentioned in the beginning of Ayero. Ki Yidati, Vriman Asher Yitzave, es Bono, es Brisi Yaakov, Vishomru Derech Adishem, Vas Yitzdoko Mishpet. Ramiya Simcha, Nimesha Chochma, says that this is the mokia for the mitzvah of chinuch. And the Ramiya Simcha and the Chochma points out, no one should make the mistake. Unfortunately, sometimes even the Torah made that mistake. Chinuch, that's only mitzvah in the Rabban. And chinuch only applies to Ketan. What's about Deirin? Deirin is Hefka. We don't have to mechanach them. So Ramiya Simcha says, Chas v'shol, how can we say that Chinuch is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's the yisod of the covenant between the Rebbeinu Shel Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu Shel established the covenant not with Avraham Avinu as an individual, but with Avraham Avinu as the ancestor and as the representative of the Knesset Yisrael throughout the generations. So that is the consideration for the covenant between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and Avraham Avinu as the ancestor and as the representative of Knesset Yisrael. Ki Yidaiti, what Yidaiti means I love him. There is a special relationship. Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves all men. Chaviv Odom Shenivot Tzalmur King. As it is, Yom Tov points out, it's Hodom. because in Salem is not Koimodom, but Hordom, Rabbi Natan says, the alcohol. So the white years is Hobby Hordom. Every human being, Jew or Gentile, even a pagan Gentile, is very beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's your Kaddish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hobby Hordom, Shemiko Besomkin, everybody is Deep Besomkin. Chvim Yisroel, Shemikroim, Bonu Mokin. A Yisroel are especially hot. But, so Yidatif, the Rebbeinu says, I have a special relationship with Avraham Avinu. Not with Avraham Avinu, just as an individual. Avraham Avinu is the ancestor, and as the representative of Knesset Yisroel, I have a special relationship with the Knesset Yisroel. Why? Because Avraham Avinu laid down the blueprint for Yitzhaveh's Bonob as Beis Yaakov. And what is that? Bishomru Derech Ad Hashem Vasis Bokor Mishpat. So in other words, it gets the covenant. So what does outreach mean? Outreach means that we have to be sovereign. So the Meshech Chochma says, Bonov means the boys, and Beisei means the girls. So when the Gemara says Mozi here, that Ho'ov Madir, according to the Shlokish, so the aloha that Noi is Madir is Noi, according to Rabbi Yechon's aloha on Yishim Sina, is the Raisi. But according to the Shlokish, it's not the Raisi. Ho'ov Madir is Noi, Pinozia. That's only the Rabbon. Why Mishim Chinuch? And the Gemara says, Ho'ov Madir is Noi, Pinozia, Mishim Chinuch. But it does not. That means there is no mitzvah of Chinuch. In regard to each other, that's inconceivable. So he says, when the Gemara says that chinuch applies only to the cotton and it's only rabbanon, it means chinuch to make sure that the cotton will observe every mitzvah without fail. So if the father does not make sure that on one day the child takes, on one day of sukkah, the child takes the ruach, he has another. So that applies only to the cotton. To a godly doesn't apply. It doesn't apply to a godly. A godly here has his own responsibility. But then there is a mitzvah of chinuch in general to raise children. And children doesn't mean after children. Bishinam tam livanecho yu tam medecho. So those who are involved, you know, in the MCSY, you know, in inculcating Jewish values in the minds and the hearts of the Jewish youngsters, in the minds and the hearts of the Jewish boys and Jewish girls. That's also children. So what is the task? The task is Bonov means boys, and Beisei means girls. As Bonov is Beisei Achov, Bishomru Derech Ad Hashem, Lasistoko Mishpot. So we have to inculcate the concept of Stockholm Mishpat, not the Stockholm Mishpat of the Democratic Party. So that's all, that's contingent whether a certain platform will be adopted, will be passed by the Democratic Party or not. So suppose they don't pass a certain platform. And suppose the Democratic Convention endorses the concept of affirmative action, like Jesse Jackson's philosophy. So it doesn't become incorporated into the concept of Stockholm Mishpat of the Torah. So it's the Stockholm Mishpat from the Torah's perspective. So those who are involved in the NCSY, all the Madrichim and all the Manhigim, have to know themselves what is the Stockholm Mishpat from the Torah perspective. Otherwise, Chas V'Sholem, they might equate it with the Stockholm Mishpat of Jesse Jackson. So to be a home, that will not be. And the Stockholm Mishpat of Jesse Jackson does not coincide all the time with the Stockholm Mishpat of Avraham Avinu that everybody knows. So that means that outreach program is grounded not only in the covenant of Bris Rishayim, but also in the covenant of Shidati Fulman Ayishi Tzabez, Bonov, Esbeisi, Achov, the Shamul Derech Hashem Lasis Dokonja. Now I just want to mention the halachas of Techiach Techiach Samzecha. After all, this is the mitzvah that underlies the whole endeavor of Kiyum. And if you want to know what comes within the confines of Kiyum, we have to analyze the halachas of Techiach Techiach Samzecha. So I just want to discuss the halachas. The Rambam, now the Roshna Posik in Vayikra Yutes, Posik Yud Zayin is, Do Isisna Esochicho Du Vodecho, Ho Yichiach Techiach Esam Secho, Do Isiso Lofchit. Now Isiso Lofchit, that's the Pshat. The Rambam, when he discusses the love of Isiso Lofchit, so he mentions the Roshin Tzapro, Yochel Yichiach Esay, Ach Moradim, Ach Malbin Esponet, Talmud Lema, we see so of it. So at the first outset, the very outset, when we have to rebuke a Jew, we're not allowed to rebuke him openly. We have to rebuke him privately, in a nice way. We have to try. We have to exhaust the remedies of Tichocha B'loshin Rako. It doesn't work. Then, as a last resort, we have to give him strict admonition. But the first approach has to be B'loshin Rako. So that's the Rambam's Pshat Mishvachi. And that's, of course, in accord with the Roshin Zafor, no one is Chelka. But the Rambam says, come upon Matar. So besides the Troshim of the Sisal of Chait, Yochel Shiachiach Yisei, Achaponat Mishtanim, he also has the Pshutishon Mikro implies something else. The Pshutishon Mikro implies that when a Jew is silent in face of the wrong done by his fellow Jew, so then he's not only Mivateon. And Mitzvah Hasei is either release his own. As a matter of fact, I think, I don't know whether in all the English translations, I didn't explore all the English translations, but in all the today English translations of the Torah, so Techiach Techiach Hasamisecho Lesisel of Chayit is translated more or less in the following manner. Thou shalt rebuke your brother and do not suffer his wrongdoing. It's not in conformity. I think there's this translation in English. That does not conform to the Rambam's explanation of the apostolic of faith. Don't rebuke him openly. I don't know whether there is any English translation where the Sisal of Chait is translated. Do not rebuke him openly in public. I haven't seen. So, no, the translation says, do not suffer the wrongdoing of your brother. In other words, by allowing my brother to be in a sinful state when I'm in a position to change his ways, then I'm responsible for his affairs. There's the concept of ours. It's not only I'm Mivato and Esidereise, I'm also Ibero Abderise. Because I am he should rebuke him, reprimand him in a nice way and privately. Should not embarrass him. That's the Ika Issa. But the other Issa of not suffering the wrongdoing of the fellow Jew is a secondary meaning of Lissori. But both are included. I mean, now let me, then there is another Chiddush in the Rambam in regard to the mitzvah of Techiach Techiach.
מצפר המצרות מססס רשי כי שציבונו לא יחיח החייתי או מי שגיר צלחתי גלילי האיסי ממנו בממה התכוחה ואין רואו שיימה אחר שאני לא יחתו אם יחתו אחר זולוסי מר לי אימא לקוף very strange expression, very strange. And its face, it sounds in the public. Of course, the Sefer HaMitzvah is in translation from Arabic, so I don't know what kind of a words the Rambam used in Arabic, but the way it's translated, it sounds very strange. He says, Misesesa Reijei, שציבונו ליחיח החייתי ולמי שייר צלחתי ולמי היסי ממנו בממה התכוחה ונראו שיימה אחר שאני לא יחתו אם יחת אחר זה יצא בדרי כה אל נצלים, אל נתיבים חזר, אל נתיבים נראה אל נתמחה לשבס so what do I care that another Jew is Michal Shabbos another Jew is Trefes Mali in Rekho what have I to do with his God very strange expression. It sounds repugnant. It sounds very repugnant. What do I have to do with his God? As if the God of the fellow Jews and his God are two different gods. What does it mean? It's a very strange expression. I don't know why no one points out the meaning. But I think, I don't know, I don't know Arabic. I wish I knew Arabic so I would be able to look up. But I think that what the Rambam means is the same thing that the Rambam says. The Rambam also agrees with the Rambam that when a Jew fails to be marzia, a sinful Jew, when he's in a position to do it, and he doesn't do it, so he's not only either an asset, he's either allowed to. But that's not the ikalav of Lisisa Lafayt. In other words, he's an accomplice. So in other words, he shouldn't say, as long as I'm not Michal Shabbos, why should I worry about the Chil Shabbos of my fellow Jews? What have I to do with his God? In other words, do I have to give an accounting for the Chil Shabbos of the other Jew? No, he cannot say it. He has to give an accounting for the Chil Shabbos of the other Jew. Because on the day of judgment, when that other Jew will be held responsible for being Michal Shabbos all his life, so he will also be charged. You are an accomplice. In the same way as one person commits murder and the other people who abetted this act, who gave him the implements, or who are standing at the gate of the bank to watch out, maybe a policeman is coming and to inform him, he's also charged with murder. He's an accomplice prior to the fact. So he cannot say, I don't have to give an accounting to his God. Of course, his God is my God. But you might think, I won't be held responsible for his avera when the fellow Jew will be charged with the affair of Chil Shabbos. I will not be charged. No. So when, on the day of judgment, the fellow Jew will be charged with Chil Shabbos, you should know you will also be charged with Chil Shabbos. Not just with the affair of failing to fulfill Mitzvah Saseh. You will be charged with the affair of Chil Shabbos. Not Chil Shabbos, I don't know. Because a compass of Chil Shabbos. On the basis of Kol Yisrael Arein Ezerzeh, I think this is implicit in the expression. So, in Yechta Acher Zolosim Malim Malikom. Zer Hefak HaTor. Ava Nachnu Mitzuvim Sholem Nechto Vishalim Nazim Zoloseinu Mumaseinu. שימרי ונשתד להמריס חיובים מונו ויחיחי ולוישידי ואף על פי שלא יוצא על עבדוס, וחייב על עבדים, ותמי חייב על עבדים. אמרים זאת מנשן, אם בגעת אני מתססה, וחייב על עבדים, גם מנשן שעוד רמח מתססה, ואין זה חייב על עבדים. Somebody didn't put on film and say, but it's a higher opinion, of course. A person has to give an accounting for every color to Bachmur. But higher opinion here, he says, higher opinion, he's responsible for the avail of the solitude. He's an accomplice in that. Even though he's completely passive, he didn't entice him, he didn't encourage him, he didn't give him cigarettes to smoke on Shabbos. He was completely passive. He was not involved with him. But he was in a position to change his ways, and he didn't. So he violated the trust that Boris Hashem and his stories on Shem Lakin were Negroes. Here it's Negroes. So he says, the higher Rabin, he's charged with the affair of Chil Shabbos of the fellow Jew. Not Chil Shabbos, Mamesh, but an accomplice. Then he says, "Binichnas b'tzibur hazeh." So he already explained what the mitzvah of chiyach tichiyach implies. But then he says, "Binichnas b'tzibur hazeh shenichiyach k'soseinu k'soseinu." כשייך ואיש ממנו ואיש תלוי תלוי ניטייה בלבבינו ולנח שבויובי אבל נצטבינו להכיחי במאמר עד שלאישו יהיה דובה בנפש מה שנבייס היא עובד דיסקסט the gist of the mitzvah חייך תחייך so he said שניציבונו להכיח החייטי או עם מי שהגיעו צלחתי ולמי הישי ממנו בימה מעדך that הכיח תכיח implies an obligation incumbent upon every Jew to you can tell a Jew whom he can influence then he says ונכנס בציבו הזה שנכיח כסוסינו וכסוסינו כשייך פה איש ממנו לאיש ולא ימיתה ברבבינו ולא ינח שגליובים אבל מסתבינו להכריך את ימיינו עד שלא ישור את הנפש isn't he repeating the same thing? No there are two mitzvahs two separate mitzvahs in the mitzvah of החייך תחייך one is a mitzvah that if a Jew commits an avir, whether it's an avir of Nagumokin, let's say it's Michal Shabbos, it's free, or it's an avir of Nagumachaberei, he talks for Shnore, he's Mifaz with people, he's Mons de Chaber Barabi, so he's on the Chuyet. If we are in a position to straighten out that person, we are on the Chuyet to straighten him out. But then, suppose, you know, sometimes when two individuals have a very close relationship. Very close relationship. So, and one individual, let's say A and B, Hudenchim, they are close friends. They learned in Yeshiva together, they were Chavruses, and then close friends. And then, when Huden marries up a child, so invite Shimon to the wedding. Suppose Huden has invited Shimon to all the weddings of his children, then Shimon marries off the first child. He doesn't invite him. Was he either than about the Isaac? Was he either than the Yitzhak Isaac? Not even the Yitzhak Isaac. Where is there in assessing the Torah that if somebody invited me to the wedding of his child, I have to receive it? There's no such mitzvah. At least I'm not aware of such mitzvah. So, let's say, Reuven has invited Shimon to all the weddings of his children, he had 10 children, and he invited Shimon to all the weddings of the 10 children. Shimon is marrying off the first child, he doesn't invite invite her.
So,
who includes her? Not that she named was either an any robber or any yes. Of course, he didn't mention it, but no, he was not in battle and he said, I say, he's not in battle and he needs to the right. So she meant, so Ruben feels very hurt. So then there is a mitzvah incumbent upon Ruben to give vent to his grievance against Shimon. She should come to Shimon and say, listen, you know, I have been your closest friend in the course of 30 years, you know, we learned together, and I confided to you all my secrets. And every time I had my family simcha, I invited you. You act like this for me, I feel very hurt. So, as a result of this confrontation, so then, Shimon might say, I'm sorry, but I, and then a new relationship will be established between them. Otherwise, so Ruben will harbor a grievance against Shimon, and it will consume him, it will consume Shimon, it will consume Ruben's family and Shimon's family. So the Torah says that there is a fear of his death. You're not allowed to harbor a grievance. You have a grievance, express it. Express it and try to establish a good relationship. Maybe somebody made a rechilas between Ruben and Shimon, and that's the reason as to why Shimon. You don't know what was the reason. So if you don't, if Ruben decides, to be quiet and just harbor it in his heart, then he's in battle. Yes, the Raisei, and according to Ramban, the Raisei, the Ramban is made it to Ramban, he'll be either the love of Rishis or Rishis. And I heard from my father, the famous Gemara, Kamtse Uba, Kamtse Horav Yerushalayim, what happened? Kamtse Uba, Kamtse, what happened? So there was a man in Yerushalayim by the name of Kamts, and then there was another man by the name of Bar Kamts. Some many times, when I read the newspaper, I became confused between President Ronald Reagan and Chief of Staff Donald Reagan. Sometimes I made a mistake, you know. See here, one man's name in Yerushalayim was Kamtse, and the other man's name was Bar Kamtse. And there was a certain host. The host name is not even mentioned, he's not there. So he made a big party, and then he told his messenger to extend an invitation to Kamtse. And the messenger, innocently, you know, in good faith, made a mistake. He knocked at the door of Bar Kamtse, and he invited Bar Kamtse. But Bar Kamtse happened to be an enemy of the host. Bar Kamtse felt flattered. He had four enemies inviting him, so he was the first one to come. Then he comes into the home of the host. So he tells him, get out. He said, you can get out. So he said, you invited me. So he said, I didn't invite you. Please, he says, don't embarrass me before all the noblemen in your shrine. I'll pay for your own fees. I'll reimburse you for everything. No, nothing though. Get out. Then Bar Kamtse was not a Chofetz Chaim either. So Meile he went and he denounced Judea to the Roman government. So that's a result of Kamtse or Bar Kamtse. So we understand the neglect and the crime committed by the host and by Bar Kamtse. But Kamtse is an innocent person. Why does the Gemara say, Akamtse uba kamtse chorav yashlayim? What did he do? He's completely innocent. Completely innocent. He didn't do a thing. In the country, he also suffered. Because it was probably because of it, you know, to participate, to be a guest in the party. The host was probably not an ordinary person. He was a big man.
in the higher echelon of the Jewish society in Yerushalayim. And he didn't experience that. So why Chazal indict Kamtze for such a terrible thing? So my father said, Kamtze was a big friend of the host. Now, that host made a big part, and everybody, you know, was proud to be invited to that part. That was the society of Yerushalayim. And many of his acquaintances are invited, he's left out. So he harbored a grievance against the host. He had good reason to harbor it. What was he supposed to do in conformity to the mitzvah of the Chiyach to Chiyach? Even though the whole thing is completely other, similarly, your friend, so I'm queer to invite my friend. But he was hurt, it's ironic, subjectively. So he did a very big wrong to come. So instead, what did he do? He didn't. Had he proceeded to act in conformity to the issue of the Torah and come to Kamtz and knock at the door and say, listen, there must have been a mistake or something, or maybe there was a chilas, I wasn't invited. All the Gdili or Shalayim were invited, I wasn't invited. He didn't do that. So because of that, Chiyach Shalayim was hard. Because he didn't act in accordance with the notion of Aramis. He was either the Esef Achiyach Techiyach and the love of Nisisal Achik. That's why the Rambam says, first he says, Nisisal Achiyachay, he, Shetziponu Achiyach Achiyachay, when Nishigir Tzalachtay, Ploinea Yisay Nenu Bimamar Atechoche, Vimro, Sheyena Racha Shani Lo Yechto, In Yechta Achazulosi, Mali Yalikov, that's one. Mitzvah included Nechayim Tchiyah. In other words, to reprimand the Jew, every fellow Jew who is either on the Torah. But then there is another mitzvah included. Even when he is not delinquent, he's not there, there are many mitzvah on the Israel of the Torah. But he feels subjectively, he feels aggrieved by his friend. So he shouldn't harbor a grievance. If he harbors a grievance and he doesn't give in to his grievance, then he's in battle with mitzvah, and he didn't love the Isaac, and he sees all the way, but he has to come to him. And tell it, so then it'll be straightened out, and then on the contrary, it will establish a better relationship, and there will be real ave between this person and that person. So now the Rambam, in Yerachazok and Yerachaz Pui, in Yerachaz, Edeus also mentions both aspects of the Chokh. Rambam Perikbov Milchaz Deus Haloch Adov. Kishiyachto Yish Meyish Meyistimeno. But one difference. In the Sifah Mitzvahs, he mentions first the aspect of the Chokh of rebuking the person who committed an Aveire of Bnoi Lomoki, or Bnoi Machaveire, but to somebody else, not to him. So then it is based upon an Aveire, Mamish. And then he mentions the Nichlau, the Tzivuaze, a mitzvah of the Choche, to give vent to his own grievance, even though he didn't involve any Aveire. But here the order is different in Yilchaz Deis. First he mentions the aspect of the Choche of expressing the grievance that he feels by the wrong done by his friend. And then he mentions the aspect of rebuking the fellow Jew for Avera Shemot Lomot. Of the Avera to another person. Rambam Perikbov Milchaz Deis Halacha Vav. Kishiyachto Yish Lish Lo Yistimenu Vihishteik Kmo Yishenema Berishoyim Lidiber Avsholim Esamnei Niumo Lengerad Ateiv Chisome Avsholim Esamnei Ela Mitzvah of Lidiei Gleimalei Lomo Asiseli Kach Vikach Lomo Hatasali. From that lesson we also see that if he fails to give vent to the grievance is not only mivatle mitzvah, he's either a nisar of the sisar of chayt, because the Rambam says, Tishiyach the ish leish leish tineno the ish teik, kmeshinoa bevishoyim, v'leitib al avsholem esam meim yumo l'merav ateit, kisole avsholem esamam, elo mitzvah of lidi. So first emotion is a nisar, and then mitzvah. Where's the nisar? The sisar of chayt. Ala mitzvah of Lidi, Lemele, Lomo Sisili Kachtikach, the Lomo Hotosoli Bidar Plain, Shemena Rechech, the Chis Hamsecho, Vim Hosa Rubikish, Men Limchele, Zor Limche, Loyameche Azori, Shemema, Vaispala, Brom, Meloliki, then our Hazayan. Horeyah, that's our Havot. So the aspect of giving vent to the grievance that he harbors in his heart is mentioned in Halacha Bov. In Halacha Zayin, he mentions the other aspect. Halacha Zayin, Halveyach Haveire Shechoto, Oy Sheholach, Biderech Litevo, Mitzvah Lazir Limutev, Loidiei, Shehu Chaytei, Alatzmi Bimaas of Aroim, Shemena Rechiach Tuchir Samisecho, Hamechiach Es Haveirei, Bein Bidvolim Shebeinei Libeinei, Bein Bidvolim Shebeinei Bin Amokin, צורך להכריחי בין לבין עצמי, וידבו לבין אחס ובלשון רק. All right. Now. These are, so far, from the implications of kill, of the hochel, of outreach. What's about the implications? There's a difference, as I said at the beginning. Implications means things that are necessarily implicit in proposition A. There is such a logical connection between proposition A and proposition B that if proposition A is true, then proposition B must be true. If proposition A is true, that man is mortal, then proposition B, that Socrates is mortal, must be true. Must be true. What amplification means is true. It comes within the concept of others. It comes within the concept of others and within the mitzvah of the Choche, but it's not necessarily included. But it happens to be included in the concept of art. But it's not necessarily included. Now, so all these dinim are the implications of outreach of kill. What is an example of the amplification of the concept of kill of the Choche? So we have an apparent, again, it sounds like an oxymoron, a paradox, a dichotomy. On one hand, we have Aloha in Pirkei Avos, Hachet Mishochan Ra, Val Tischad Rosh. We should associate with people who are sinful, who are wicked, who are profane, who are secular, and the Rambam says that the reason is why the Chachamim were gazei on Amhoret, that they should be tam. It's not because we really had a chashe, maybe the Amhoret is not good, you know. It's not like it. Because there is no Tumas Amhoret, Beregel the Amhoret is the Chagim. Beregel there is no Tumas Amhoret. The regals of Kol Yisroel are like Chavir. So Amoretz is not Mitamei and Regal. If it had been Mamesh based upon Echshoshim, it would be Stamei. There is no doubt that when a Zav touches another person, the regal also becomes Stamei. But the main purpose was to curb our association with Amoretz. And Amoretz doesn't mean somebody who is an ignoramus. Is there a moret in Maasa Teresov? Is there a moret in Meniach Tfilin? A moret means a non-Orthodox Jew. That's what a moret means. A moret does not mean Chas V'Sholem, an ignorant Jew, but a non-Orthodox Jew is an a moret.
It's on one hand the Chacham Mogezia, that big the Amoretz met was repulsing. Amoretz is Mitame. And why? In order to curb, the Rambam says, our association with non-observant Jews. So we have to keep away from associating with Jews. Then, on the other hand, we have a remarkable halacha. Can we move them to?
Of mother?
Yeah. But there has to be a balance between chilud and brichot. Now it's all right. Now there's a balance. Okay.
Those are all right with the other one.
Again, in an oxymoron. When I speak, it's an oxymoron. Because I myself a little bit of an oxymoron. What? No, I'm not incriminating myself. I'm proud of it. There is our mitzvah, prikentine. Prikentine means that if a behemoth is loaded with a lot of luggage, and the pain is in pain. So it's a mitzvah to unload the pain. Tina means if Masse has to be loaded upon a chameya, so then we have to help and participate in loading the chameya. So one mitzvah is implicit in the posik of posik tazay, and the other mitzvah is implicit in hokim tazay. All right. Two mitzvahs. Suppose there is a conflict between the opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvah of Prike or fulfilling the mitzvah of Tine. So Prike has precedence over Tine because Prike involves Avalachai. Imagine the donkey is loaded with so much luggage and pain. So if you wait a minute, so you extend the tzar of the behemoth of the poor animal for a longer time. But Tineh, so the hardship is not so great. So if there is a situation, either he will be Mikayim Trik or Tineh, he has to be Mikayim Trik, nothing. That's only if the two Jews, one needs help of Trik and one needs help of Tine, are equally orthodox or equally non-orthodox. But suppose one Jew is an orthodox Jew and one Jew is not an orthodox Jew. And the orthodox Jew needs Trik. The non-orthodox Jew needs Tine. Yeah, so the halacha is mitzvah litein with the non-orthodox Jew. Give you rocky visits. That sounds paradox. Again, an oxymoron. But there's the aloch. There's the aloch. Rambam pesh yud gimu merchas vitzeach ushmeras nefesh. Aloch yud gimu. Hapigia bishnayim. Echot revis tachas masoyed echot. Pereik porak niolot. Motso mishiit nime. Mitzvo lifchay bitchilo mishmitza vachay. Vahakachtei. Bamedvon amurim bishoho yushneim sonim, oye yavi. And sin doesn't mean whether he's a personal friend or a personal enemy. It means sin is called somebody who is navayim, who is non-observant. Because otherwise, I will have the right if you dislike a Jew. But if he's addicted to avirus and you try to straighten him out many, many times, and he doesn't allow himself to be influenced, then you are allowed to entertain a resentment against him. So that's what sin means. The middle amurim bishoy yushneim sonim oy avi avolim oy echot seini vechot eiv mitzvo litin im asein et chilo kidi loki vesi triyala. You see an Orthodox Jew needing preaching. and none other of you needing cleaner, so you have to neglect the trick of the Orthodox Jew and the accommodate the non-Orthodox Jew. Why? That in itself is indicative of the situation of our Kedim. We have to pursue the cure of Rechaikim at the expense of the craving. But here the Aloha requires us to do. To Yolokit is Yitzhara, because the non-Orthodox Jew, if he sees an Orthodox Jew observing him that he's in trouble, and he doesn't even realize that there is another Jew who is in bigger trouble, is in need of help for freedom, he will not know about it. Oh, you say, oh, the Orthodox Jew, you see, just because I'm not religious, I'm not a Shema Shabbos, I don't observe the dietary laws, so because I'm a member in a conservative temple, I'm a member in the Reform temple, look, they are Khomeinis. The Orthodox Jews are Khomeinis. They discriminate, they are racist. Of course, it's a stupid conclusion, but we have to take cognizance of the facts of life. So maybe because of that, the Torah, the Halacha requires, no. You first accommodate the non-observant Jew. He shouldn't have a piece of contact. Can you lock it as it's right? That's not one of the implications of the concept of kill. It's not necessarily implicit in the use of prayer, but it's one of the amplifications of kill. Now, but here we have. Can I cook cake? Can you give me a few minutes of grace?
You're on your grace period, right?
Yes, all right. Until then, am I my grace period?
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes, okay, all right. I have to hurry up. So, but the question is, there is a dichotomy between the halacha of Altishaber, Ha'chayt Mishochan Ra, Altishaber Rosho, and of Amhoret Zizmitamei, and that means that we have to minimize in our kill with the Rechaikim. No, we have to keep aloof from that. And Amoret is Mitamei. So, all this Chabal of Russia, we cannot associate with them in any way, but on the other hand, any belief that the same belief in an art of the Jew needs preaching, which involves more of a hardship. And the non-Orthodox Jews needs only tilmud. It's a lesser hardship, a lesser trouble. So you have to come, you have to help out the non-Orthodox Jews. As we cut the answer is, I once wrote about it. There is a distinction between friendship and fellowship. Insofar as friendship is concerned, there are no exceptions. We have to show friendship to everybody, Jews, non-Jews, not only nice non-Jews, even pagans. Yateshav, the Rambam says, Bihirali Shaliagim, Yateshav, Bidacharazuk, Nishasodnik, Moyim Yisroel. But then the Rambam says, Akiru Akum, Tziru Chachonim, Nilbachas Choleyen, Nachem Esadleyen, Ufan say some, Nidach Yisholem, Shainema, Tiba Dishem Lakeo, the Racham of Alkomaso, Pinema Adrochel, Barkinia, because it's socially. So, friendship. Everybody has to be included within the orbit of friendship. Jews, non Jews, even pagans, Orthodox Jews, non Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, reformed Jews, assimilated Jews. Everybody! No exception! That's in regard to friendship, some country. As far as friendship is concerned, to help out somebody who is in trouble, we think sometimes when you literally be saying it, you can literally be saying it, look at this, because otherwise the non-Orthodox Jews, they are being brainwashed by the reform leaders and the conservative leaders. So if there is anything that seems to have a semblance of discrimination, so Prishtim Alecha, they are Khomeini, they are racist.
in order to counteract that weapon. So, mitzvah be same, even though he's in lesser trouble. So we have to help out. But fellowship, to feast together, and to dance together, and to embrace each other, so there is our discovery. Now, the takone, that our Amoras is mitame in the imagine, that has nothing to do with friendship. That has to do primarily with fellowship. Because if they will not be mitame, then the association in fellowship with non-observant Jews will be escalated to an accident as a result of that takone. That is in Tame, so it would reduce the minimum. But has we shown that there should be any diminution in our acts of chesed towards non-Arab Jews? Has we shown? Even pagans, there couldn't be any diminution. Mithan simani akum. Akum doesn't mean Gentiles. Akum means pagans. We have to show the same friendship and the same generosity to pagans that we show to Jews. We have to show the same generosity and the same friendship to non-Arab Jews as we show to Arab Jews. The fellowship of the Shabbat Roshon. Ha'chayt mishochana. Do not participate in fellowship with non-Arab Jews. So that's one, and this is one pitfall of kill. One major pitfall of Kiruv is if we create fellowship with friendship, if we start associating with non-Arab Jews in fellowship, then it's a pitfall. Then it's a pitfall. Then there is another pitfall. And then I'll finish. Just a few more minutes. I know I'm Kashwavadity around me. So then there is another exception to kill, because it's another pitfall. Another pitfall. I thought we had here, you see that, no?
Yes.
We say, after we say the Brachas, the Brachas HaShachar, we say two Yerotzes. The first Yerotzen reads as follows. Yerotzen ufanecho adishem lekai lekei adisai. No. The first Yerotzen is Yerotzen ufanecho adishem lekei lekei adiseinu shetadalenu bisirosecho tidapkenu bisvesecho val tibienu loyli dechait loyli deabeo diobin loyli dinsoy loyli zoyin val tashvul bonu yitzaro vahikinu modumro mechoboro tidapken bitzatib maiskeil dechibas yischinu nishtatvach. So here is Lashon Rabbi in the plural sense. Shetadalenu bisirosecho tidapkenu bisvesecho val tibienu All in the plural sense. Then another That's one bearness, but then there's another bearness. In the first Yerotzim that is Roshan Rabbi, we say Hachikenu Madamah. So in the second Yerotzim, we should also say Hachikeni Hayim Chayim Mazikponim Mazikponim. No? So there we say Shatzalene Hayim Chayim. The answer is Kiruv implies Shalom Larochek. How can we say keep me aloof from away from you? Keep me aloof. That's in consonance with Alves. Keep me aloof from a similar to Joe. I have to penetrate into the homes and rebuke them in a nice way, whether they like it or not. Even if they call me Khomeini 10 times, I still have to persevere in my rebuking them and in
bringing him closer to the Torah. Chas v'sholem, that we should say, Hachikeinu Adam Ra. Hachikeinu Adam Ra. On the collective level, on the organizational level. So it's impossible. It's impossible. It's especially almost, if we'll be associated with the reform leaders and the conservative leaders and the reconstructionist leaders, and with those organizations, we'll be associated on an organizational level with reform rabbis who say that a gay lifestyle is a legitimate lifestyle. And we have to have a special synagogue for gay people. And then we'll say, Hatzileini, from these gay people. That's it, situation with them. Impossible. Impossible! On an organizational level, we say, Hachikeinu Mordomar. Keep us alive! On an organizational or a collective level, we cannot associate with non-Arab Jews. But on an individual level, has to show it. If we are to say, Hachikeinu Mordomar, has to show it. If somebody is an alcoholic, is a drug addict, so he has to be careful himself even more. He's a sick person. But we shouldn't associate with drug addicts on an organizational level. They're not. So to associate on an individual level with another Mara and the Chabara, with Reform Jews, that comes within the orbit of guilt. But to associate with Reform Jews, conservative Jews, on an organizational level, comes within the pitfall of guilt.